Last year, when the provincial government passed the Save Lake Winnipeg Act, it included a clause that promised a moratorium on new peat leases, new permits, or expansion of existing peat mines in Manitoba. Then Conservation Minister Bill Blakey argued that the measure was important to protect Lake Winnipeg and to meet Manitoba's greenhouse gas emission targets. Shortly after the act came into force, Interlake residents were surprised to see a number of new peat mines set to open in the region. Licenses were granted for three new mines, and a fourth project by SunGrow is being proposed in Hecla Grindstone Park. Eric Redder is the campaign director of the Manitoba Field Office of the Wilderness Committee, and he joins me now to speak about the issue. Hi, Eric.
Hi there. Thank you for having me on today.
Why are peat bogs important to the environment?
Peat bogs are important because of carbon. That's the really simple answer. It's what lies beneath that's really the thing that helps us the most.
And what happens when you mine for peat? What sort of destruction or environmental problems does that cause?
Well, mining for peat is, it's actually strip mining. The peat is a layer of decomposing vegetation. It's sphagnum moss in this case through most of Manitoba. And peat is very acidic, and peatlands are wetlands, so everything is underwater. So the moss grows, it dies, and then it sits there. It's kind of like it's pickled. It grows about 1 millimeter every year, and slowly this peatland builds up to a layer of decomposing moss. Now, to get it out, the process is that they drain the area. So they drain the water out of the wetlands and then slowly shave it off, this dead decomposing matter, and start selling it in bundles or using it for horticultural purposes. Now, the problem with it is that because it's been sitting there partially decomposed in this acidic environment where there's underwater, as soon as it hits the air, it immediately begins to decompose and releases a tremendous amount of carbon. And that is the biggest problem. As soon as it hits the air, it decomposes and greenhouse gases start to fly.
So if there is a moratorium on peat mining, how is this coming through?
Well, peat mines are operated on quarry leases. Now, a quarry lease is the term that the mines branch uses for a piece of crown land that a company wants to operate on. So a bunch of companies have, actually a lot of companies have quarry leases all across Manitoba for these peat mines to potentially operate peat mines. And now the Save Lake Winnipeg Act came in and said, that's it, no more quarry leases. Unfortunately, everybody who already has a quarry lease is able to operate their mine. And to the government's credit, they say that instituting this no new quarry leases has saved 140 or 170 quarry leases from being put in place in the province.
And so what's the process for this project? Because I know your organization, the Wilderness Committee, has expressed some concerns about the transparency of how this project's being approved. What are the steps now?
Okay, yeah, so the process for an environmental license is that the file is listed in the public registry and it's advertised. Environmental licensing says, hey, we have this new proposal. In this case, it's written into the act that they have to advertise it on radio or put it in a newspaper. And so they put it in the newspapers in the Interlake Spectator for a lot of these peat mines. And of course, not that many people read the Interlake Spectator on account of it's not available everywhere. So it goes to a public comment period of about 30 days. And in that time, while the public is looking at this plan, all the government branches that are charged with looking after our environment are looking at this plan, whether it's climate change or air quality, ecosystem services or water stewardship, protected areas branch. Everybody looks at this proposal. And now when that comment period ends, the government licensing branch assembles all of the comments from both the public and the expert branches of the government and publishes that as a technical advisory comment document. Now, what we found in this process, the specific mine in Hecla Grindstone Provincial Park has just ended its public comment phase, but the last three mines that were issued, we found there was very few public comments because people didn't hear about it, and the government branches who are in charge with protecting our environment, they didn't agree with the mine, and they opposed the issuing of a license, and yet the licenses were still issued. So that's somewhere in the middle of environmental licensing, something is missing.
Interesting. Along with the mining in Hecla Provincial Park, there's also other industrial activity that that your organization has been vocal about in other provincial parks, including logging and new commercial development, or I guess commercially sponsored development, like the Tim Hortons camp in Whiteshell Provincial Park. In terms of provincial parks, they're great for recreation, but is there any conservation, I guess, significance in designating land as a provincial park if it's still going to have all of this either industrial or commercial activity going on?
Yeah, that brings to the biggest thing that the Wilderness Committee has been talking about over the last few years, is that our parks aren't protected. Every single provincial park, all the area is classified as one of six different land use categories, and one of them is called resource management. Now, this portion of the Parks Act was built sometime in the early 90s, and basically the resource management section says we can have all the benefits of having a park, recreation, and you know, whatever you want to do in the park, but we can also have industrial development at the same time, and everything's going to work out great. Now, 20 years on, of course, we've realized, at the time we knew it wasn't a good idea, but there was enough push from industry that they allowed this to happen. And now we realize that what needs to happen in a park is that we need to get the benefit of nature, the ecosystem services, the things that make our province worth living in, as well as the recreational benefits, and we don't need the rest in our park. So in this case, I mean, the peat mine and strip mining a portion of a provincial park, that's clearly not what we need. You know, when we got logging out of provincial parks, it was the same thing. We're having an impact on an area that we should be protecting.
What can people do if they want to get involved and want to add their voice and better protect provincial parks?
The strongest thing that you can always do, and it's the same across the board for most things, is you can write a letter to the government and let the conservation minister or the premier know that you value your parks. Now, on our website at wildernesscommittee.org/Manitoba, there is a letter writing tool which specifically is asking people to send in letters regarding ending mining in provincial parks. It's kind of the last big impact in our parks. Once we end mining in provincial parks, our parks will actually be parks. They'll be protected areas for us. So that's the first step, is learn a little bit about it and write a letter to the elected officials.
And in terms of the proposal for Hecla Park, when do you expect that there will be a decision?
Well, we had an emergency meeting with Conservation Minister McIntosh on Thursday, right after our gathering for World Wetlands Day. They called us in. They wanted to know what was going on here. And he admitted at the time that there's sort of an antiquated regime that manages peat in the province, and they're caught a little bit off guard here. Now, of the three peat mines issued last summer, two of them are under appeal right now, so he's looking at these, and this one proposal's in place that the public comment period just ended on. So he's understanding that this is not the way Manitobans want to go. He understands that peat mining is not a real benefit for Manitoba. Very few jobs, very little economic opportunity, I guess, and growth, and a really big impact because you literally have to strip every single living thing out of the peat mine area. So I would say within the next month, we're going to hear from Conservation Minister McIntosh, and he will bring us good news on the Hecla Park peat mine and hopefully move towards permanently protecting Hecla Provincial Park. And he will be really investigating whether or not he will rescind the licenses for the other two peat mines.
Well, that's quite positive.
We want to think positive, but the outcry of public support and opinions regarding this campaign is right on par with some of the biggest efforts that we've ever done. We submitted 570 opinion cards that said don't put a mine in the provincial park, and only 14 of those 570 cards, only 14 of them actually agreed with putting a mine in the park. I mean, those are really, really high numbers, 98% approval. And this goes back to 570 cards in this short few week period we've been working on this. It's the same thing like when people wanted to stop logging in provincial parks, or when they wanted to stop development in Meditation Lake and Whiteshell. Parks resonate with Manitobans. They really appreciate them, and they want to see them protected.
Well, thanks for coming down today and talking about this. It's good to hear about a campaign that people get involved in, and there hopefully will be a positive outcome.
Yeah, it's great to get some more information about it there for people. So thanks so much.
I've been speaking with Eric Redder. He is the campaign director with the Manitoba Field Office of the Wilderness Committee, and you're listening to Mud and Water on CKUW 95.9 FM.